day.
All right, time for a little quarterbacking. People still buzzing over the final debate. Once again, the numbers were high, under 60 million, but still something like 57 million people watched the third debate between the Prez and Mitt Romney. Joining us right from the get-go, Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News. Victoria, just your impressions, forget all this other stuff aside, just your impressions of what you heard during that debate as somebody who's covered Washington.
Well, I mean, my impression was that, this was a president who was not only there to show that, look, I've been commander-in-chief, and not only have I done this stuff, but I know this subject cold. And I know how to talk about this subject cold, and here's this guy, and not only is he a rookie, but he's showing he's a rookie. And he did.
So you think clearly, in your mind, clearly Obama won. It wasn't necessarily a draw?
There was no draw here. If you want to talk about a draw, you could say that the second debate was kind of a draw, although I think Obama got in some zingers. This debate was hands down, feet down, head touching the floor, a win for Obama.
I love that. I love the hardcore opinion. So how about you, America? Just like Victoria, don't shy away from this. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. And then we look at these polls, and the polls are kind of, a couple of points this way, a couple of points that way. Do you think, and even David Axelrod is saying this, he's saying that this is close, obviously, he's cautiously saying that because, of course, he wants the president to get reelected. But do you think this is going to really, in reality, be one of the closest elections we've seen?
Yes, I think it's going to be very close indeed. And I think that the Romney people are trying to create a narrative whereby it's not going to be close and that they are pulling ahead. Whereas in reality, if you look at all the polls, if you look at how it really is, they're not pulling ahead. They're either the same or Obama's slightly ahead. They're creating a false narrative that the press is falling for. They're not pulling ahead. They're either catching up a little bit, but Obama still has the lead. Obama still has the lead. And they haven't taken it away from Obama, and there's no sign, really, that Obama's momentum is still dropping. Obama's momentum dropped after the first debate. There's no sign that it's continued to drop. There's every sign that it's settled and that it may be regaining.
So you think when it's all said and done, it might be in the wee hours, but Obama wins another term?
I don't know that. Because there are several paths to 270 electoral college votes, and I think it does all hinge on Ohio. I think it's going to be incredibly close because each one's up, one's up in Florida, one's up in Virginia, one's up in North Carolina, one's up in Wisconsin, one's up in Iowa, and they've all got all these different paths to it, but I think each one has got to win Ohio. I think this is an incredibly close race, and a lot of things could go wrong in 2 weeks, and I think it's very interesting that Mitt Romney's people said on the plane just today, I believe it was, that basically saying that he's not committed to giving any more interviews, not saying that he's not giving any, but saying that we're not saying that there's anything on the schedule. And I found that interesting, whereas Obama's doing the Tonight Show tomorrow. He's doing a live interview on MTV at 5 p.m. Eastern on Friday. And he's getting out there with the interviews. But Mitt Romney is, and I ask myself why, is it because he doesn't want to make a mistake? Is he,
right.
He's playing a cautious game now, whereas Obama's playing an aggressive game. And I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I agree. The moderator for this one was Bob Schieffer. I think Schieff did a good job, honestly. I like him. I mean, unabashedly, I'm a fan of his, having spoken to him many times. I think he did a pretty good job, but, that aside, what do you think?
I thought he did a good job. I think this is a really hard pair of men to moderate.
Corral, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't want to be corralled. And, I got two cats like that, and it's not easy. And I think he did a very good job. He even managed to shame Mitt Romney when Mitt Romney started his thing about wanting more time. He managed to embarrass him. And I think that was the route to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News. Once again, thanks so much, as always.
Thank you.
Coming up the rest of this hour here on America Tonight, it is the day of the week where we talk movies a little bit. So, Ben Affleck, Argo, Iran hostage crisis. Has this elevated Ben Affleck's game? We'll talk to Stephen Shohat all about that. A career with a lot of ups and downs that started on a very high note, winning an Oscar for Good Will Hunting. Also, in Odds and Ends, sad story about this girl that was about to turn 13 in New Jersey. Turns out the two suspects are two brothers, 15 and 17 years old, supposedly dumping her body in a trash bin, and it was all for a BMX bike. They wanted her bike. It is a sick, sad world when that's the reason why they stalked and took down this girl. Also, a huge shark attack off the California coast. I bring this up because it's right where I used to live and where I used to swim. I actually learned to scuba dive on the California coastline. So I'll talk about that and some of those kelp beds. And I don't think this was the thing that happened with the surfer. Always the theory is you look like food to the sharks if you're in the wrong area, and apparently the victim was in the wrong area, so some of the details on that, too. But we started with politics, so let's talk about politics. Really, the buzz, I say America Tonight is about the buzz in your backyard. The buzz is over politics, like it or not. You know, we're in that circle where we now have 12 days. We're to the point where we're at 12 days before we know what happens in this election, not just with the president, but in your local area, bond issues, all that kind of stuff, plus what happens in the House and the Senate, the two chambers. And there are some important races in the Senate, no doubt. And, of course, the House, all the seats are up. So could be a different day when everybody wakes up on November 7th. And I've thrown out all kinds of things. Like, if it's a horse race, how close do you think this thing is? And you heard the conversation with Victoria there. There's no doubt she believes it's very close. However, she thinks Obama absolutely won the last debate, and I'm not so sure about that. That's why I said I love the hard opinion. I think, to me, and it may be just my point of view in watching, maybe I'm debate weary, in watching it, I thought there was a bunch of give and take really on both sides, because I think Romney got a few shots in, too. I've seen this thing broken down in 15 different ways, and every single time I come back to the same thing. All right, so how many people watch this? And I think I said 57, but the actual number is 59.2 million. A lot of people wanting to hear something, I guess. And maybe I'm wrong about the undecided voters. There may be some people that don't necessarily have half a brain, but have a whole brain, but just can't decide. Someone in my family I was talking to today, who's always voted her entire life, told me she really wasn't sure what she was going to do, and had the ballot and was sitting there looking at it and thinking of sitting on it. Remember, that's what I've heard more than anything. People that don't want either man and feel like they can't vote this election. I've heard that more than anything, but maybe there are still plenty of undecideds hanging around. That's why there's that push for that ban. Play me out. It's like the Tonight Show band. Bam! The last-minute push in the swing states. There's got to be something to the magic if we're seeing the polls switch around. And a lot of people on the ground in Virginia, in Ohio, in Nevada, Florida. Things could change, that's for sure. Meet me on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. phases, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking.
So last night's debate, one of the big lines, and it was a funny line, one of the big lines was when the president said that horses and bayonets, you know, the little jab at Romney for questioning, because Romney was talking about the shrinking Navy and defense and how much money is being sliced from defense, and the quote from Leon Panetta about how it wouldn't be the same military, which is true. Panetta flipped out when he realized how much is going to have to be sliced from the budget. So what Obama said, this is the exact quote. There's no manipulation here because we know how we only get little halves. What the exact quote was is he said that Romney hasn't spent enough time looking at how our military works. And he threw this in. You mentioned the Navy, for example, and that we have fewer ships than we did in 1916. Well, Governor, we also have fewer horses and bayonets because the nature of our militaries changed. So that was the big thing that went out all over Twitter. There were funny lines about the bayonet and all that other kind of stuff. So upon further review, and almost everybody and their brothers doing this, I think the Pentagon pretty much later in the day might have sent out a press release about it. Upon further review, Sally in Washington, whose son lost his life in fighting in Afghanistan, talked about a picture she had of him on a horse. But the bayonet deal, the Army has 419,155 bayonets The Marine Corps has 195,334 bayonets, and they bought them in 2004, and they're planning on buying 175,061 more bayonets this year. Wow. This is funny. I mean, this is funny. Because, you know, maybe you wouldn't think that. The bayonet is actually, it's called the M9 bayonet. And then they've had others in that series that were specifically manufactured for the military by a bunch of different companies. A company that I'm familiar with, Buck Knives and some others. And they attached them to the M16s. They attach it there. And it can also be used in a couple of other areas with Mossberg special purpose shotgun is another place where they would have it. And what one of the retired majors was quoted as saying on one of the news shows I was watching today is the bayonet is definitely part of the Marine equipment, and they're trained to use it because of how often they're walking into certain areas. It's not, you know, yes, we have drone warfare, but there are Marines that are involved in where they have to go room to room and search for insurgents, and they definitely have that bayonet. They say it's almost indispensable, that it's still a very, very useful tool. So, you know, who knew? If Romney knew, he could have come back with the exact quote. Can you imagine? Well, let me see. Upon further review, let me check here. That's why they need, as much as we all look down and we can type things in, that's why they need to Google things. Can I have a Google minute? Can I have a lifeline so I can look that up? But what Obama said is, in the jab, is we have fewer. So he didn't say there wasn't any, but still, how wildly ironic is that? I don't think most people in their minds get that impression, because you think of Civil War, you think of World War One, the hand-to-hand combat, the trench-to-trench stuff, and just the close range. And you hear that. You hear that if you talk to veterans when they talk about some of the scrapes that they have. I remember my grandfather talking about that, talking about having the using the bayonet in his group, in his corps, and what they had to do. And so, like I said, upon further review, guess what? Definitely still using that bayonet because of the searches, especially. Another story that kind of didn't have anything to do with the debate, but kind of tripped my trigger today, and how am I not so shocked by this? You know, the situation of what happened in Libya, the consulate, Benghazi. Okay, get past the whole politics of what did the White House say and the terror thing, the Prophet Muhammad, was that the motivation behind it? Was the inside job using the word terror? All that other stuff. I mean, forget all that for a second. But let's get the nutballs. Let's get the scumbags, for lack of a better way to describe this, that did what they did to our ambassador and three others. Because for goodness sake, we have to have the backs of our own people. And I think everyone, no matter how they view this, would agree with that statement. Well, check out Tunisia. They're not letting the U.S. question the guy suspected of playing a major part in this attack on the consulate. With all this confusion, all the other things, the one thing that's happened is they're not allowing that. They're saying, nah, we're not gonna allow you access. You could say denied. Sorry, U.S., denied. And that's too bad, because wouldn't we love to question and find out what happened? You got to get to the bottom of this. And there's a couple of extremist groups, including Al-Qaeda's North African affiliate, as there's somebody that was a heavy hitter there that was arrested in Turkey, transferred to Tunisia. That's how the Tunisian connection is. But still, we haven't been allowed to question this guy. And all of this is coming up with the FBI investigating and looking into what happened. Was there somebody inside that knew? How do they have such complete access to what it is? And the guy, Al-Harazi, is believed to be one of the people in the attack, but not necessarily the ringleader. In fact, one of two dozen, that's what the FBI is talking about. They're working through a list of suspects, and they've got about two dozen plus on there because they've got this surveillance camera, the videotape from the compound, and where the attack happened on September 11th, and they've been combing through it to get as much as they can off of it. So, you know, we got to pursue these guys responsible for these murders. You know, we can't be preoccupied with all the conflicting statements of, well, what did you say at the Libya attack? I mean, it wasn't the way it was handled. It was bungled. But forget that for a second. How about getting these? How about getting this guy? How about questioning the people that we believe to be involved? Because they had mortars, which says, you know, why? How did they get all that? It couldn't have been spontaneous. There was an opportunity. They had to have known something. The way it was set up, it was more of a military kind of event where they were able to get and strike and did some pre-planning. So there was some calculating going on here. Who knows how long this was planned in advance, especially the mortar had to be set up way ahead of when they actually used it. And, you know, anyone in the military with far more knowledge than I over what a mortar team would have to do, they know you have to have a spotter situation. You have to be able to recalibrate the mortar because you want to get the direct hit. You have to have it set up. So there would be premeditation, in other words. Now, that's not surprising to me. Doubt it's surprising to this smart audience. So let's just get these people. Pound Tunisia into the sand and say, listen, we're helping you. You want us to give you X, Y, and Z. We're giving you coin. We're doing this. We're doing that. Give us access. Give us access. Because, you know, there was 135 supposedly militants is the term they're using that were, they were part of this attack. So how well coordinated were they? Are you kidding me? Anyone that was an American had no chance. They had no chance. They were blocking passages. They were blocking passages between the consulate and the annex, which was about a mile away. So because both buildings were attacked on that night. And they had to have pre-planned this. They're not just grabbing some weapons and running over there and deciding to shoot things up. So let's find this out. Let's find out who set this place on fire and who took out the ambassador and the three other Americans. Let's get to the bottom of this one. Because we can't have, you can't just have this blown in the wind and lean on Tunisia and get them to let Americans, let the CIA, let the FBI, whoever the lead interrogator is, let them be involved. Let them question about the smoking gun and how pre-planned it was and in advance for the 11th anniversary of the 9/11 terror strikes or whatever. But let's find out about the first two mortars that missed and the other ones that hit, because they had to have had some access here for sure. All right, we're taking a wild left turn here on ATN. Coming up next, we're going to talk about movies a little bit with our pal Stephen Shohat, best storyteller around. That's next on the flip side here on ATN.
Comes another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
25 years is reason to celebrate. Cash in on October deals during the 25th anniversary of Emergency Essentials. Going on now, save 26% off clarified butter, 24% off honey oat granola, and save 50% off a kitchen fire extinguisher. A must for any kitchen emergency. Stock your car with a Roadwise Emergency 72-hour kit, only $34.99 at BePrepared.com. New this month, two varieties of Mountain House just-in-case buckets. Your favorite Mountain House pouches packed in a convenient bucket. Find a super deal this month only for the Gold Zero Lighthouse LED Lantern and Nomad 7 Solar Panel. Iosat Potassium Iodide tablets are on sale. And as always, check out the Emergency Essentials group specials now through October 31st. Call 800-999-1863 for exceptional customer service and Emergency Essentials low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. The unprepared or beprepared.com.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Actions of Iran have shocked the civilized world.
The hostages went out a back exit. You have 72 hours to get them out.
I got an idea. I fly into Tehran. We fly out together as a film crew.
You need a script. You need a producer.
Suicide missions have better odds than this.
They're asking us to trust you with our lives.
This is what I do, and I've never left anyone behind.
All right, Argo, it's playing right now, getting rave reviews, Ben Affleck's Baby, and there's buzz about possibly some awards for Affleck. Oh, what a career he's had. Pretty interesting. Stephen Shohat joins us each and every week. He's one of the best storytellers around, as I like to say. Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. That's the name of his book. Pick it up, and I'm telling you, you will laugh out loud. Stephen, how are you?
Great, Kate. How are you?
Terrific. Ben Affleck's movie is getting a lot of buzz, like I said. You know, you read about it almost everywhere. You pick up anything that has to do with the movies, and it's doing okay. It's an interesting story. So he's really, I think, come back into his own as a storyteller himself and as somebody who has got credits in, you know, acting, directing, producer, writer. He's doing it all, isn't he?
Yeah, and I enjoyed Argo. I mean, you know, you can always nitpick here and there, but there are, you know, some complaints coming from certain corners, like for example, the British did try and help the six diplomats who were trying to escape Iran, he made it seem like they didn't, and Ben Affleck is kind of apologetic about that, because he wanted to heighten the drama, but of course, you know, when you have something that has some historical basis, and you omit something that big, or change something that big, then obviously people are probably going to take offense to it. Overall, even if there was some dramatic license taken here and there, I mean, it was pretty riveting to watch that film. And it is based on a true story known as the Canadian Caper, where these six people were smuggled out as posing as filmmakers, and it worked out. And there was a real man involved, John Chambers, the makeup artist on the movie Planet of the Apes, who helped set the whole thing up. And he's played in the movie by John Goodman. And people are saying that it is a dead-on portrayal, and that John Goodman very likely is going to get nominated for Best Supporting Actor, too. And then the Alan Arkin character is kind of a composite of different people in Hollywood who helped to do it. So it is pretty fascinating, even if it isn't, 100%. I mean, it's based on a true story, but it's fascinating. One of the things that really fascinated me, too, was they didn't do any filming in Iran. That's Los Angeles. And most of the Iranians in the movie are living in Beverly Hills and were bused to the locations. And but a lot of them actually had been through the revolution, so had strong memories and were able to give Ben Affleck some feedback. And they were telling him how vivid and realistic it was for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Like, as you said, sometimes you take those artistic licenses, I guess, with movies. But, you know, Ben Affleck hits the scene in 97. He's the co-writer, co-star of Good Will Hunting. He gets an Oscar for Best Original Screenplay with his best childhood friend, Matt Damon. And who knew? Did he kind of come out of nowhere? Did they both come out of nowhere?
Well, pretty much. I mean, they were, they were in the movie School Ties, and they expected their phones to ring a lot, and they didn't. And they were always roommates, moving around. They went over to Eagle Rock for a while, and they started to work on the script Goodwill Hunting, which was a play that Matt Damon had written in Harvard, and Ben Affleck had actually had the original idea, and being actors, they acted it out quite a bit, and it was at one point like 1,500 pages, and they shortened it, got it down to a more reasonable length, and then wherever they would go, everybody would say, "I can see Ben and Leo." Brad and Leo in this, meaning Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio, and then were kind of taken aback that Ben and Matt were determined to star in it and would not give up the rights unless they did, and it kept getting into different hands. It went into turnaround, which means that it wasn't being produced by one studio, so the writers have the right to buy it back and take it to another studio, and then the first studio is compensated. And I think what finally pushed it over the top was two things: Robin Williams being willing to work with these two lesser known guys and not demanding a bigger name alongside him, and also Matt Damon's appearance in the movie The Rainmaker, the John Grisham film, I think convinced Harvey Weinstein to come through with the money. And they worked for very cheap on that movie were not really compensated directly from it when it made like $135 million. And I'll tell you, it said something really interesting. It was Kevin Smith, who directed Ben Affleck in the movie Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
There's a really good book, Down and Dirty Pictures, by Peter Biskind, about the independent film world. Kevin Smith said that Matt Damon is like an artist. He's like a really concerned actor, and that's his main thing. But Ben Affleck is more of a movie star, and Ben Affleck is like about the business, and he doesn't feel bad or didn't feel bad working for big studios that they were going to pay him big bucks. He didn't find it you know, to be selling out or anything like that. And it, like Ethan Hawke, for example, when he was in the movie Training Day, he had these big emotional problems about working for Time Warner. He's like, oh, I'm sold out. But that, Ben Affleck absolutely didn't feel that way. So he could be in a movie like Armageddon and not have it, you know, be personally demeaning to himself. Now, what did happen to him was I think he felt bad that the public didn't always react well to his movies, like Pearl Harbor, and he admitted that that probably caused some of the drinking problems he had back in 2001. And I'll tell you, when you look at his directing career now, when he made his first movie, Gone Baby Gone, he wanted to take his name off the credits. He thought that his name was so dragged through the mud after the relationship with Jennifer Lopez and the whole Bennifer thing and Geely and everything that had gone wrong, that he would be a detriment and the union would not allow him to take his name off the picture. And all of a sudden, he is becoming a very, very respected director, actor, and people are now comparing him to Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah. And I think of even the movies, the way that he can adapt himself, as you're saying, and you mentioned some of the brutal things that happened to him, the stuff with Jennifer Lopez, but boy, The Town was a solid movie. State of Play got a lot of bounce and some big actors in that one. So also, I guess, more people are going to want to work with Ben Affleck too, right?
Argo was produced by George Clooney, and Ben Affleck got the job to direct it. You know, he made a joke that he talked to George Clooney on the phone for 2 hours, and he thought George Clooney said yes just to get him off the phone. But George Clooney said, you know, I don't want to say Ben Affleck's the better director now because of Argo, because he thought that Gone Baby Gone and The Town were excellent as well. So, and also when he made Gone Baby Gone, he didn't think he could act and direct at the same time. He thought that was such a big chore, and a lot of actors turned director have said that. But you know, since you work on a movie for like 2 years, if you're directing it, he thought if he's going to keep his acting career going, he better start appearing in his own movies. And I think he's done a good job on the acting side with both The Town and now with Argo. Although with Argo, his character is very subdued. And I think maybe one reason for that is that he wants to let Goodman and Arkin get all the laughs.
Yeah, and they do get a lot of laughs. And I'll tell you, I was thinking in my head some of the other movies that he's done that I liked. I like him in the role of Jack Ryan in Some of All Fears, which a lot of people didn't like, but I guess I like the Jack Ryan character, and I thought he did a pretty fine job with Some of All Fears.
You know what? I pretty much liked him in almost every movie. I think the movie that really started restoring his respect in Hollywood was the movie Hollywood Land, where he played George Reeves, where you know he could. That was kind of a poignant thing since he had sort of the drinking problems and the baggage and things like that. To play an actor who wasn't getting a lot of respect, I think. You know, who knows how somebody personally relates to that, but I think it made it very, very poignant. And you watch that movie, my personal opinion was I just wanted to see more of George Reeves, and the Adrian Brody fictional character was investigating this thing. Didn't interest me at all. So, you know, Ben Affleck really stole the show in that movie, and I think even before Gone Baby Gone, that was the beginning of his comeback. And you know, you got to feel good for somebody when that happens. It's like the story about when Cher was in the movie Silkwood, when she first, when people saw her name on the credits, they started laughing. But by the end of the show and the end of her performance, she had respect. So when somebody can turn it around like that, it's a positive thing and pretty inspiring.
I agree. I root for somebody that becomes, sometimes they're up on the pedestal and then they become the underdog. And I like the analogy of Cher. Absolutely. Stephen Shohead, always fun to talk to you. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've got it.
All right, so as I said, he's a great storyteller, and I'll tell you, that's exactly what I think has happened with Ben Affleck. I love The Town, State of Play, that turned it around for me, too. As Stephen mentioned, Hollywoodland is a great movie if you haven't seen that. Don't go see some of those in-between ones, though, like Changing Lanes for Geely. Oh, that was rough. Pearl Harbor. Oh, that was rough, too. Stay with us, odds and ends on the flip side.
You store guns, ammo, and food and water. But do you store peace of mind when it comes to your firearms? Now you can with Duracoat. The last thing anyone needs is a firearm that won't work when you need it most. Improve the factory finish and Duracoat your firearms once for a lifetime of protection against rust and corrosion. And Duracoat also protects against water, salt water, mud, grime, or whatever nature throws at you. The Duracoat Shake and Spray Finishing Kit has everything you need to finish a complete firearm for just $34.95. No need for an airbrush or other spray equipment. Just degrease, then spray on Duracoat and let dry for a lifetime of protection. Duracoat is the simplest and most user-friendly firearm finish you can buy. Use Duracoat on knives, camping equipment, or anything metal, plastic, or wood you want to protect from the elements. Call 800-830-6677 or visit Duracoat.net. Spelled Duracoat.net. Duracoat, the finest firearm finish on the planet.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Got me spinning round and round, round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame.
Around, worth a promo. We're going to talk to Carlos Duarte, and what's interesting about Carlos is he's got another point of view on the voter problems, on voter intimidation, because we've seen that go both ways. You know, in Florida, they're now investigating letters telling people that they might face jail time if they cast any kind of a vote on Election Day. That's ridiculous. And Carlos has some stories about people being intimidated, actually going to the polls, and he talks about how powerful it is, the people who become citizens, how they are so intent after waiting and waiting and doing that thing where they're wanted to be an American and go through the test and are there being sworn in and feel so proud, and they would never think of not voting. He talks about some of the things that have happened to people. So we got this sprint in the next 12 days through some important swing states. And as we're tracking all of this, it's like I say, listen, I don't care who you vote for, go and vote. Go and vote. I'm very clear about that. Whatever my beliefs are compared to your beliefs, who cares at this point? I think you make a vote. You go and you do that, because if you've been to other places and you've seen what people go through, you would realize the power of that vote. And if more people did that, there'd be more action. So voter intimidation really has no place in the United States of America. We are not a banana republic. I know we'll never get it 100% right, but for goodness sake, ridiculous some of the things that are happening, and Florida is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm going to do some odds and ends, but before we head there, let's go to Tomas in Michigan. Hello, Tomas.
Hey, Kate, have you ever been on a date?
Yeah, have I ever been on a date? Oh, yes, I have been on many dates, but yes, thank you. I know where you're going with this, but I think you should continue to go there. That's funny.
Yeah, because I think America went on a date with Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Like halfway through the date, they figured out that Barack Obama never did like America. And being a girl, you all have certain little strategies, little backup plans that you have when you go on a date, right? Just in case, you know, maybe the date is not going to end up too well. You got maybe like a girlfriend that calls you, you know, at a certain time, and then, oh, what, grandma got hurt, you know, or something like that.
Right.
Like, let's role play this. Okay? I am Barack Obama. You are America, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, I'm driving you back now to your apartment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we go. Hey, America, so you think I'm going to get a telephone number tonight?
No, you're going to have to do more than that to get my digits.
Well, what about maybe another date? You think we can have another date, America?
What are you going to do different on this next date that's going to make me like you?
Well, I won't be like that other guy, Mitt. I mean, he only likes 47% of you.
Is that right? Do you know? Did you have a personal conversation with him that was on the record?
You know, that's I think what's going on with America right now. They're thinking we are not going to have another date with Obama. Matter of fact, it's time for him to go to another time slot, maybe another channel, maybe another cable carrier, you know, because don't you feel that people are just tired now and they're ready for a little...
Oh, I think there's people, that's why I said I've never ever talked to so many people who feel like they don't even want to vote. And I'm saying Democrats, lots and lots of Democrats that I know are saying that. They're saying they're disappointed in Obama and what they thought was going to happen. I've got an aunt who is very spirited, very into politics, and very Democratic, and she doesn't want to vote for Obama because she didn't get what she thought she was going to get in Obama, and I've heard that from a lot of people. But then the other side of it is they're getting what they think they're going to get with Mitt Romney. It's going to be very, very close. There's no doubt about it. By the way, Tomas, I saw 2016, Dinesh D'Souza's movie. And
oh, yeah?
And I'm sure you've seen it. The thing with the movie is, you know, he's getting pummeled by some of the people from the White House, which makes sense because, of course, they would play defense if they were asked about it. But in his movie, he's really just taking everything out of one of Barack's books.
Well, you know, that's interesting. But I saw that movie Argo that you were just finished talking about.
Yeah.
And And that really relates to what's going on now in the Middle East. You know, back then it was about Iran, which was a modern society, being turned over to a bunch of Islamic fundamentalists. And now we have Egypt, which was, you know, pretty modern, all of a sudden being turned over to a bunch of Islamic fundamentalists. Brotherhood. It's almost uncannily like wag the dog. Anyway, Kay, listen, thank you very much. Have a great show. And, don't go on any more dates with Barack Obama.
Tomas, you take care. All right, so I said we would mix in some odds and ends. I want to get to this one because I was so enraged when I heard this terrible story about this 12-year-old girl about to turn 13 in New Jersey riding her BMX bike around, and it turns out, as the story goes, two brothers apparently killed her in a trash bin, allegedly, because they wanted the bike. That's the belief. They lured her to the house, to the boy's house, and where all her stuff was found, and she died from strangulation. Wasn't sexually assaulted, any of that kind of stuff, but she was strangled, and the reason for the strangulation is what they think was because they wanted her bike. Boy, that is just evil. It is so unbelievably sad. Hundreds of people turned out in this Gloucester County town to try to help find the little girl who disappeared when she just went to ride her bike, and I mean, it's just damn depressing is what it is. I hope we don't hear very many of those stories again. When you see these people that are missing, it's like I said, I used to just turn the milk carton around, not because I didn't want to help, but because I would see the same faces over and over and over and over again. Very, very depressing. All right, I used to live in the California coast, loved it, loved the people, and I used to swim in a place very close to Vandenberg Air Force Base because as a television person, I covered Vandenberg, and so I found out about this really cool place to swim and to surf. I surfed a little bit. I was a crappy surfer, but I liked to go there and do some diving, and boy, they would talk about sharks, and I never really worried about it because we never saw any, but there's a guy who, unfortunately, was killed. He died in the coast of Surf Beach is what it's called. His name is Francisco Solorio. Was a pretty good surfer, I guess, about 39 years old. He was bitten in his upper torso. He and a friend were there surfing, and they saw the shark bite. Somebody walking on the beach saw the shark bite and the hit, and they ended up swimming over and pulling him from the water when they tried to give him first aid, but the bite was just that bad, and by the time they got him help, the paramedics pronounced him dead at the scene, and, you know, how terrible is this? And this is right at the base, right near the base, but the public can go there. This is one of the beaches where you can go, and Surf Beach, to give you an idea, is about 150 miles northwest of Los Angeles, and they used to have, when I would be there, they'd have shark signs kind of posted out there, but they didn't have any of those, and they said they've seen some shark sightings but didn't expect that. And they say that deal of surfing, you look like, as I mentioned earlier, you look like shark bait, you look like a seal. Awful for the guy and his buddies, of course the guy himself, but his buddies trying to do whatever they could to help him, but it was too late because it was just one of those white shark attacks, and they're still looking for that shark. Any thoughts on the show? You can shoot them to me at AmericaTonight.net.
Wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health. Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses
bacteria and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.